Dogma and Devotion, the podcast that sheds light on the beauty and truth of the Catholic faith. We discuss a wide range of topics from the viewpoints of two complementary vocations of the Church. I'm Ashley here at Father Dupre, and on today's episode, we're reflecting on the fourth Sunday of Easter, year B.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. A good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. A hired man, who is not a shepherd, and whose sheep are not his own, sees a wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away, and the wolf catches and scatters them. This is because he works for pay and has no concern for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know mine, and mine know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I will lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. These also I must lead, and they will hear my voice. And there will be one flock, one shepherd. This is why the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own. I have power to lay it down and power to take it up again. This command I have received from my Father. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. This Sunday is the fourth Sunday of Easter, and it's liturgically known as Good Shepherd Sunday. But for over 60 years, the Church has also celebrated it as Vocation Sunday. In 1964, during the Vatican Council, towards the end of it, Pope Paul VI, who's now a canonized saint, instituted what's known as the World Day of Prayer for Vocations. So the Council is nearing its end. Paul VI sees a problem. He's got a big drop-off in the number of vocations, both in men entering seminary, but also in women entering convents. So he decides that he would establish this special day of prayer. It's not really a feast day in the traditional sense of a feast day, but it's more of a call to action. So in this, the Holy Father is empowering Catholics then and us now to cry out to God for what we need, men and women who are ready to devote their lives to God and to the call that he's placing on their hearts.
Yeah, and it just works really well thematically. You have, again, with the changes that came through in the Second Vatican Council, the lectionary cycle that we have today, where we have this claim as Catholics, a true claim, that if you were to go to Sunday Mass and every daily Mass for 3 years, you will have heard the Bible and the entirety of it. And so it's a wonderful way to expose Catholics to more of the riches of sacred scripture. And so there was this move of this gospel from the third to the fourth Sunday in Easter, providing a kind of shift, but a sort of a break at the same time from, of course, in the Paschal season, the focus on Christ's resurrection. And so instead of hearing about another resurrection appearance from scripture, we're hearing about Christ's self-declaration as the good shepherd, and why he is that, why the Father loves him for that, the power that he has to be that, what he is versus a bad shepherd. And so this is, again, providing this opportunity for the Church to talk about the call to be a shepherd and to be part of Christ laying down his life.
Yeah, and you know, you're in that position of shepherd, me on my end, and I'm in position of sheep. And if you just sort of think of a sheep, just in the sense of the animal, it's nearly defenseless. You've got like a Q-tip with organs. They can't do anything. They don't have claws. They can't run. I mean, maybe they run, not very fast. They're not climbing. So as creatures, they're demanding a shepherd for survival. And not just any shepherd, but one that's going to be fiercely loyal to them. There's a lot of, you know, popes and saints that talk on this, and they'll say, you know, comparing a shepherd to a hired hand. And if you've ever drove a rental car, you know how people are with things that don't belong to them. So a shepherd will care more for their own flock than a hired hand. Pope Francis has this great line where he says, shepherds should smell like their sheep. And there's something in there, like a reflection, I think, of fatherhood, like in the paternal sense, or, you know, even motherhood as well. If you've been with someone who has a newborn baby, they smell like a newborn baby. You know, there's this lack of routine, lack of self-care, because everything that you have, you're devoting to this helpless, defenseless thing.
Yeah, so we're there with you, trying to keep up. It's one of the beautiful things. Your parish priest out there, you know, who's pastor of a parish, or he has a parochial vicar, used to be called an associate pastor. You know, they are called what's called the secular priesthood, which sounds like a contradiction in terms, but let me explain it. Secular in the real sense of the term, like of this age, like they are meeting people where they are as people move through the present time. Whereas you have the contemplative priest who is in holy orders. He is deeper into the praying heart of the church, right? He is not kind of yoked with meeting people as they kind of pass through this time. And again, versus the more contemplative priest who, let's think of the monk, right? The monastic priest. They are more caught up in eternity in the life of prayer and maintaining that vertical relationship with the Lord, calling down many graces and such. And still offering Mass, of course, as part of what a priest is given to do, is charged with doing, is offering Christ's sacrifice for the salvation of the world. But that secular priest, right, he's called to get smelly with the sheep. He's called to meet them in this age and the trials and the difficulties of parenting. You know, how do I pilot my home and my family with all of these thoughts and diversions and distractions and or inflation, you know, how do I keep my kids in Catholic school? Father, is it worth it? You know, all this. We're right there with you. And, you know, this is a good segue to get into what really jumps out at me with this passage here is not working for pay. And I do take great pride in how the Catholic Church establishes, cares for, and makes holy her priests is with that salary cap. Yes, we do have a lot of overhead taken care of. Right? The church has never asked me for rent in the rectory where she places me. And if I wanted to, I choose not to personally, and I'm not among a few number of priests. I don't ask the church to, you know, pay for any restaurants I might go out to, or if, you know, I'm not feeding a wife and kids, but I don't, in my diocese, I don't have to pay my health insurance. Those are two huge expenses that, you know, can keep a lot of people in a place of, you know, stress. All right. However, you know, it's not necessarily still what I'm earning. It doesn't add up to the hours logged, right? I do have to pay taxes on what I make. Some people, that might be something that not everybody understands, is that, well, you're part of a nonprofit, aren't you? You work for the church. You know, how could you be taxed? It's like, oh yeah, I do. I get taxed as a member of the diocese that employs me and as a self-employed minister in the United States. And so, yeah, I do get taxed. So again, but I take joy in that and I take pride in that because I'm not being separated from what my people are going through. I'm there with them, right? And my reward is not in this life. And it is absolutely disgusting to hear about other pastors who are definitely proclaiming a gospel of wealth and that it is a sign of God's blessing that you would grow in worldly wealth. And I'm thinking to myself, what a distortion of a pastor's joy. A pastor's joy is to be caught up in what Christ is saying here in this gospel. The Father knows me and I know the Father and I will lay down my life for the sheep. This is why the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. If a pastor is getting wealthy, how does that really reflect the Paschal mystery of Christ, that he lays down his life in order to protect and save his sheep? And so being there with the sheep, as yes, Pope Francis would say, getting smelly with them, experiencing troubles with them, is super important. It's also kind of extension of the incarnation, right? Christ comes into the troubles that man faces. And so he does that without turning away from his Father and the Father's will. He comes to fulfill the Father's will in that. And he experiences the weaknesses of having flesh and at times not being understood by others, not receiving the love that the human heart craves and needs for a sense of happiness and well-being, which we go through at different times. And so being a part of Christ's own laying down of his life in, yes, a very physical, material way with kind of what I call like the salary cap. Because again, if you log the hours that were on call, you know, it's nothing for me to do 35,000 miles. That's a low year for me. It's 35,000 miles on my car. In our diocese, we don't have a fleet of cars that we all share. Like, that's going to come out of my little monthly paycheck. And that's a set paycheck. You know, it's not like, oh, did you get some more hours this month or whatever? No, it's salary. That's how it goes on salary. There's a cap, there's a limit. But that's okay. How have I experienced my joy? I've experienced it with the laying down that of Christ's own life. I've been connected with that. Also think about this too, how the when Christ says, a hired man who is not a shepherd and whose sheep are not his own sees a wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away, and the wolf catches and scatters them. This is because he works for pay and has no concern for the sheep. I so love that because I can experience that any day where I have to mount the ambo or the pulpit, the place where the gospel is proclaimed and clergy give their homilies. I think about how what are the wolves? Who are the wolves that I'm facing? You know, I'm normally not celebrating mass at gunpoint, and I've never, you know. So what's the threat? What's the real physical threat? It's not a physical threat. It's the spiritual threat. It's the lies of the day that are distorting what Christ is calling for. He's calling for holiness. He's calling for perfection. He's calling for obedience. This is John chapter 14, verse 15. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. He's calling for fidelity from his bride. And so I'm stepping in the person of Christ as priest, and I'm proclaiming Christ's gospel. I'm not doing this as a hired man. I'm doing this as a man who's called to be Christ's priesthood. He's the one doing the work in me. There's a sacramental bond that I have through holy orders. There's a character impressed upon the soul, just as at baptism and at confirmation, that orders me toward Christ to act and to speak in his person, most especially in the liturgy and at Mass. And I have been given the freedom necessary to speak the truth, to call out the wolves that are threatening people's fidelity to Christ, their baptismal vows. They've promised to live this way. They've promised to not go towards Satan, to see that that's a real threat. That's the wolf with a capital W. And I have to call out the lies, and the father of lies is speaking all the time. But because I'm not getting paid for this and it's Christ's work, I have no right, let's say, because Christ is doing it in me by holy orders. He's doing that work, and there's no amount of money that equals the power of the truth that sets people free. And so it's a wonderful thing to not work like that, to not work as somebody trying to make a gain, but to allow Christ, for him to have the gain of the soul he's trying to reach at Mass.
I love that. I'm glad you shared that, because I think a lot of people are just in the dark about, you know, or no one wants to talk about the salary of a priest or whatever. So thanks. So with this being the World Day of Prayer for Vocations, I thought it'd be good to maybe give some ideas of how we can support vocations in our parish and in our diocese as a whole. So we are in the Diocese of Lafayette. That's where most of our listenership does come from. And our diocese has a Quo Vadis coming up. It's a discernment retreat for men. That's going to be June 18th through 20th. We have some Carmelites here who are also having a come and see for any women who would be interested. That's going to be happening May 18th. All these things can be found on our diocese's vocation website, which we can link in the show notes, LafayetteVocations.com. Another really cool thing you can do is to check with your parish and see if they have what's called a vocations cross kit. This is something that our diocese started, I want to say in 2020, and it's a black box. There's a really beautiful crucifix in it. There's a set of prayers in it. You're able to pick it up from your parish. You take it home, and there's a complete guide. There's a litany, and you're just able to pray for current, for future, for priests that have died, priests that have ministered to you during your life. And I think it's just a really cool way to connect laity and clergy in the church.
Yeah, that is a great thing. We have a wonderful diocese that we've been around for 100+ years, and we've been very blessed by people praying for vocations. As we talk about that little vocations cross kit, when I've been pastor and here and there, I've made that a priority to get people in the congregation to pray and be a part of that ministry. And so, why don't we offer a prayer for vocations?
Yeah, I love that.
In name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord Jesus, Son of the Eternal Father and Mary Immaculate, grant to our young people the generosity necessary to follow your call and the courage required to overcome all obstacles to their vocation. Give the parents faith, love, and spirit of sacrifice, which will inspire them to offer their children to God's service and to rejoice whenever one of their children is called to the priesthood and religious life. Let your example and that of your Blessed Mother and Saint Joseph encourage both young people and parents, and let your grace sustain them. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thank you for joining us. We will return next week for the fifth Sunday of Easter.